first video of his that really woke me up was the video he did on the World Trade Organization protests in Seattle.
Yeah.
When he showed that there was these groups of masked men who dressed in military uniforms with military issue shoes. And they all ran around in this peaceful protest for the World Trade Organization and started smashing things and lighting things on fire and creating chaos, which allowed the police to then move in. Then these people all holed up in one house. They negotiated with the police and they were all released.
While the labor march was large and peaceful, it was the unexpected violence that captured most of the media attention.
Innocent bystanders walking along the sidewalk are getting tear gassed. And while the governor made assurances this morning things are back to normal, they're definitely not.
The state of emergency was just an hour old.
The state of emergency that they've been training for so long to deal with. Who was behind it? What caused it in Seattle? In December of 1999, the World Trade Organization meeting, the riots, the supposed riots in the military and police working together to keep the public safe from all that evil rabble. In recent years, the WTO, since its inception, has come across incredible opposition worldwide because of its obvious authoritarian implications. That's a hard thing to deal with when you've got highly motivated people that have real complaints and valid issues. How do you deal with it? Well, you simply call in your friends.
Nobody was directly confronting the police. No one laid hands on anybody. Nobody touched property. And they were arrested anyway solely because the WTO comes to town. China and other foreign governments wander in here. And now they're gassing everybody. What did you see here? Did you see any violence?
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended at 4th and Spring.
Any part of an organized protest today?
I'm not saying again.
Not only could you not say what's on your mind, you couldn't wear it.
What? Give me that.
Sir, let's not get into a big scuffle over here. Okay.
This man had an anti-WTO sticker on his backpack.
He took it off my...
There are no protests down here.
No protest.
You saw what happened yesterday to your city. We're not going to let it happen again, okay?
Not allowed to have a sticker.
Not here.
The left coast communists posing as anarchists under Delta Force direction.
Broke windows at the Gap. They're smashing windows at McDonald's. They're dumping over garbage cans.
What's wrong with this picture? If the police are supposedly there to protect the public and property, then why? Why did state police, Seattle police, as well as the feds, stand back and allow the anarchists in mass to run around and throw bottles at police, cones, rocks, you name it, and assault private property as well as members of the general public? You see, the anarchists were actually given their own operations base.
7 days after they commandeered this downtown building, anarchists walked away without a word from police.
It feels to me like we won.
The building is owned by the Low Income Housing Institute, a private nonprofit that is in large part funded by the city and is now working with the city to house the anarchists.
All started by 30 to 40 anarchists running around, burning and beating and smashing and stealing. And the police, like dogs at the end of a chain, a Rottweiler you've been slapping, suddenly had their leashes released, and with wanton abandon, they rampaged out in a berserk fashion and attacked old ladies, store owners, you name it. And then they got to ship everybody to the FEMA center. That's right. FEMA was helping during this learning process for everyone.
We've seen 400 people arrested. The facility at Sandpoint, we're told, is full. We're told they did not create another one at Boeing Field.
So why didn't the police department arrest the anarchists when they moved out of that building? Well, that's a question a lot of people are asking, especially since the West Precinct is just down the block. We asked the police department this weekend. We asked them again today. They still haven't returned our call with an answer.
It's a staged, managed operation. These same anarchists have been used in Washington, D.C. to create a state of emergency. For a day, they allow them to spray paint pig on police guards and attack officers. And then the police are released once they're at fever pitch. They are useful tools to neutralize the general population's ability to engage in political protest.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue in my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
It's Monday, July 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We got a lot to talk about today. Lots of developments in a number of different areas, including a heck of a lot of treason. Heck of a lot of treason from the past rearing its ugly head. So we'll get to all of that. And we'll take your phone calls today. Lots of videos to get to as well. Stay tuned. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right. Here it is, folks. Your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 21st of July, 2025. Microsoft alerts businesses and governments to server software attack. Microsoft warned of active attacks exploiting a critical zero-day vulnerability in on-premises SharePoint servers beginning July 18th. The attacks stem from previously unknown flaws, with some attackers bypassing July patches, causing new zero-day discoveries. iSecurity identified over 85 compromised SharePoint servers worldwide linked to 29 victim organizations, including U.S. federal agencies and businesses holding sensitive data. Microsoft has released emergency patches for SharePoint Subscription Edition and 2019, urged admins to enable AMSI integration into vendor AV, and recommended disconnecting servers if AMSI cannot be enabled. Long story short, this is a giant vulnerability that affected just about everything, and we're not really sure how much this has actually affected things. There are a lot of instances where people are drawing connections. I was watching Chase yesterday draw a connection between the Alaskan airline outage and this particular hack. There's also the U.S. government saying that some of the servers that the DOD were using were based in China. That's ridiculous. I'll show you a statement from Pete Hegseth in just a second on that. Meanwhile, Donald Trump posted AI video showing Barack Obama arrested by the FBI. On Monday, President Trump posted an AI-generated video depicting former President Barack Obama being arrested inside the Oval Office. And I believe we have that video. We can play it as B-roll. Amid declassified disclosures, Tulsi Gabbard alleged senior Obama-era officials fabricated the Trump-Russia collusion narrative, arguing it was designed to undermine Trump's presidency. Inside the deep fake clip, "No one is above the law" caption appears on screen, showing FBI agents handcuffing Obama as Trump watches and smiles. Across social media, critics called the video deeply irresponsible, warning it could mislead millions and stir political tension. Well, just wait till it really happens. You think this is bad? Just wait till he's really arrested. You're going to see a lot of outrage from this. Here's the video. We're playing it now. Again, we can get more into this later, but it's nice to see people at least talking about what happened with Obama in the, you know, correct language. It's interesting when they say things like, Tulsi Gabbard alleged senior Obama-era officials fabricated the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. It's like, what do you mean she alleges? What? Where else would it have come from? That this is completely undeniable, irrefutable fact that, yes, it was the Obama administration that used knowingly used fake evidence to get a warrant to try to destroy Trump before he ever became president, and then weaponized that information against his presidency the entire time. I mean, that's not even up for debate. It's not even a question as to whether or not that happened. The question is, how have they not been held to account yet? Of course, we're seeing a lot of I don't know if they regret it, but certainly the outrage from the no one is above the law crowd is certainly something to behold. Meanwhile, off-duty CBP officer shot in face during robbery at New York City Park by suspect ID'd as illegal immigrant, career criminal, who got freed after every bust. An off-duty U.S. Customs and Border Protection officer was shot in the face after being robbed by a moped-riding illegal immigrant in a New York City park on Saturday, but he shot back and wounded his attacker, according to sources. The suspect has been identified as Miguel Francisco Mora Nunez, a 21-year-old Dominican national with a lengthy rap sheet in New York, according to sources, but was let go each time he was busted, despite having a deportation order. You can actually see some of the video of this event that was captured by security cameras in the park at the time. Mora entered the U.S. illegally via the southern border under the Biden administration, the Department of Homeland Security said Sunday. The 42-year-old federal agent and a female companion were sitting on a rock along the Hudson River in Ford Washington Park in Manhattan when they were ambushed by the two men on a moped around 11:50 p.m., according to police sources. After a brief exchange and tussle, one of the moped-riding men fired a gun and hit the victim in the face and left forearm. The agent then drew his own pistol and fired multiple shots at the perp, hitting the suspect. Mora was struck and wounded three times by the return gunfire, sources said. So I see what the problem was. There's an inconsistency here. See, the CBP agent, he was acting like he still lived in America, where you can do things like enjoy a Sunday afternoon at a park with your beau. That's not the world we live in anymore. So that's going away now. It can come back if we just arrest and punish the criminals that are destroying our peace and way of life, or we can just stay inside all the time. I guess those are the options that we have. Some pretty big stories out of Israel this weekend that are truly something else. Israeli lawmakers took part in sadistic sexual rituals, survivors reveal. Oh, good. Several women on Tuesday testified in the Knesset about sexual abuse they suffered as minors as part of religious ritual ceremonies. The testimonies came during a joint meeting of the Knesset's Committee on Status of Women and Gender Equality, chaired by member of the Knesset, Pnina Tamino-Shite. Something from the National Unity and the Special Committee on Young Israel's chaired by member of the Knesset, Nama Lazimi of the Democrats. The joint meeting was organized in the wake of an investigative report published on the 2nd of April by Israeli journalist Noam Barkan. Yael Ariel, one of the abuse survivors, shared, "I experienced ritual abuse over many years until my late teens and was forced to harm other children. I chose to speak out and make my voice heard. I received threats after revealing my story from ages 5 to age 20. I was harmed in these ceremonies." According to Ariel, she received testimony from several women who claimed that doctors, educators, police officers, past and present members of the Knesset were involved in this abuse or in these abuses, saying, "I filed a complaint with the police that was closed after a few months. I know of other cases that were closed. Speaking out today in the Knesset is a historic moment." Yeah, pretty insane. We might have to return to it. We'll touch back on this after the Daily Dispatch, but suffice it to say, mind control, sexual abuse from the highest levels of the Israeli government, rabbis taking little kids into the woods to do unspeakable things for unspeakable reasons, our greatest allies. Finally, we have this breaking: a Texas Antifa gunman fugitive captured. So this, of course, we've been reporting on. Armed and dangerous North Texas Antifa gunman fugitive Benjamin Song has been captured, and two more of his comrades have been charged for allegedly abetting his escape. Benjamin Hanil Takeshi Song, 32, has been evading arrest by the FBI following the ambush shooting on the Prairieland Detention Center and ICE facility on the 4th of July. Between 20 and 30 rounds were fired at the agents and responding police in Alvarado, Texas. One local officer was shot in the neck and survived. 11 members or associates of the heavily armed cell have been federally charged so far with attempted murder and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence. They also face local terrorism charges. At least 14 firearms have been recovered in the investigation, in addition to a cache of ammunition and body armor. So good to see one of the violent communist revolutionaries captured from this. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. It's where you go to keep us on the air and take advantage of the incredible new products that we have. Power Plant is really a powerful supplement. I took it on Friday during the show. In the first hour, by the second hour, I was definitely feeling the energy. I don't even know if that, I mean, it's an adaptogen complex. It's not, you know, strictly an energy supplement, but it has that effect because it basically provides fuel to the power generators of your cells and helps to deal with stress and other, you know, aspects of your physiology that will cause tiredness. It really is an incredible product. Power Plant Advanced Adaptogen Complex and Methyl Drive for activating your cellular energy. Both of these now on sale at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Personally recommended by Alex Jones. And of course, you can get them together with the Power Drive combo for an additional discount. And you're getting 25% off or more on the entire store, extended through today only. Take advantage now of this incredible sale, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, like I said, we have lots of videos to go along with all of these stories, including all the stories that we covered in our Daily Dispatch. Let me just pull up the actual correct folder here so we can go to some of these. And we'll start with the statement from Pete Hegseth about the fact that they discovered that a lot of the DOD cloud software computing was done in China by Chinese firms. This has been outsourced by corporations the DOD had partnered with. Here's Pete Hegseth, clip number 10, on the absurdity of the American Defense Department running off of servers located in the homeland of our geopolitical arch rival. Let's watch.
Earlier this week, we were alerted to a potential vulnerability in our DOD computer systems, and we've been checking into it ever since. It turns out that some tech companies have been using cheap Chinese labor to assist with DOD cloud services. This is obviously unacceptable, especially in today's digital threat environment. Now, this was a legacy system created over a decade ago during the Obama administration. But we have to ensure the digital systems that we use here at the Defense Department are ironclad and impenetrable. And that's why today I'm announcing that China will no longer have any involvement whatsoever in our cloud services, effective immediately. And at my direction, the department will also initiate, as fast as we can, a 2-week review or faster to make sure that what we uncovered isn't happening anywhere else across the DOD. We will continue to monitor and counter all threats to our military infrastructure and online networks. And I want to thank all those Americans out there in the media and elsewhere who raised this issue to our attention so we could address it. And that's why we're talking to you today. As the president would say, thank you for your attention to this matter. And God bless our warfighters. I'm going to sign that memo right now, initiating that review.
So there's Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, signing the order to review the fact that DOD was running cloud servers in China. What? How do we allow these things to happen? And it just, that really is the overwhelming sense that you get when you read all these stories, is just, we haven't been taking any of this seriously at all. And it really does feel like it's just like some form of just assumed but false invulnerability. Like, we just don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Like, it just doesn't matter until you realize, you know, decades down the line, oh, that actually mattered a hell of a lot. And yeah, we can't just ignore this stuff. whether it's just the open borders and just millions of criminals coming in, or just outsourcing everything to foreign countries. It is just bizarre to be acting like we live in a world where nationalities don't matter and national security just doesn't matter. Just outsource everything, just offshore everything, and everything will be fine. And it's like, it's bizarre to be acting that way when nobody else is acting that way. When these other countries take their national security very seriously and their, you know, border protection very seriously, it doesn't make any sense for one country not to be paying attention to any of that stuff. It just is bizarre and weird. And it all seemed to have started to happen under Obama, that all this happened. And the more you sort of look into it, the more you realize what a intelligence operation Obama was in totality. Like, it may have been a little, they may have been a little too quick off the mark. Like, I think maybe if they had waited another 8 years, let some, you know, John McCain type take over and spend 8 years just making everything worse and getting us into more wars in the Middle East or whatever, and then try to run the, you know, foreign communist Muslim guy, I think they could have succeeded. But the more you learn about Obama, the more it's like, wow, he really was put in place to literally dismantle America and sell us off for parts and, you know, usher in this new era of globalism. I just think they were a little early on it. I think they thought they were in a better position than they were. And so instead, he just sort of messed everything up. And I really hope that Trump and his team are serious. And this is like a glimmer of hope, even overshadowing or you know, providing a different color tint to what's been going on with Epstein, where it's like that would be a valid excuse for why they're failing so hard with Epstein. If they come out and go, see, guys, we couldn't pay attention to Epstein because we're arresting all of the Russiagate actors. We're focusing on Russiagate behind the scenes. And we're arresting Obama and Clapper and Comey and everybody else involved in that ridiculous charade. Then I think we all go, oh, that's why you were telling us to shut up about Epstein, because you were focused on other stuff. That would make sense. That would be, you know, a pretty valid reason. That would at least make up for the abysmal failure of the Trump administration up until this point. So I really hope that's true. I really genuinely hope we get the non-AI version of the Obama arrest soon, because that is actually necessary for the sake of justice and just the continuing function of our government. You can't let them get away with this. You cannot let Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Andrew McCabe's and Barack Obama's get away with weaponizing the intelligence services to try to destroy the candidacy of their enemy, and then to, you know, use it to destroy the ability for that candidate or that president at the time to actually fulfill the functions of his office. Like, that's actual treason. That is actual abuse of power. And these people have to actually be charged and arrested for it. We're sick of hearing words. We're sick of hearing talk about this. We're sick of hearing, you know, braggadocious claims that they're going to arrest them eventually one day, and don't worry, trust the plan. We want to see the actual thing happen. We want to see the arrest. We want to see the charges laid. We want to see these people actually pay for their crimes, not just tough talk from the Republicans. I think we can all agree. I think we're all on the same page that we're just done with the talk. It's just stop talking. Just do it. We don't want the AI video. We want the actual video of him being arrested. We actually want Obama arrested because he actually committed crimes. Now, if you're under the impression that this is some sort of crazy thing for Trump to be posting a video about, maybe I need to remind you that they literally arrested Trump. The man has a mugshot. If you didn't want this to be the precedent, you shouldn't have done it. You have no right to complain. Again, you just have to look at the language of these people to understand that if they ever get back in power again, they will go to levels that we are not even prepared for. Let's go to clip number 11. This is Tulsi Gabbard exposing a ton of Democrats elite, including Dr. Anthony Fauci. Again, I don't think these preemptive pardons are compliant with the law whatsoever. And I think we could, in perfect safety of the Constitution, reject all of them and actually punish these people for the crimes against humanity that they've carried off. Tulsi Gabbard seems to be hinting that that's the direction she's going. Great. Let's see the outcome. Let's see the handcuffs. Here's Tulsi Gabbard, clip 11.
You guys who watch me know that I use the word Democrat elite a lot. People ask me, who are these Democrat elite that you speak of? Yes, it's people like Joe Biden, people like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. But it's important to recognize that it is also unelected officials like Fauci, who has shown throughout his entire career serving under both Democrat and Republican administrations through his actions that he serves his own interests and the interests of big pharma and big government consistently over the interests of the American people. The insidious part about this is that he and others take these actions and abuse their power in the name of working for our best interest when in fact they are doing the exact opposite. For example, as you remember during COVID, Dr. Fauci demanded that we place blind faith in him and the government. They said, just trust us, just trust the science that we are acting in the interest of your public health. But over time, we saw what it was really about. It was about control. It was about more money, huge amounts of money, our taxpayer dollars being put directly into the pockets of big pharma.
And that, of course, is the most minor of crimes when you're talking about Anthony Fauci or Barack Obama. It's not about putting money in the pockets of big pharma. It's about weaponizing the fear that's created by the virus that they designed in a lab and then released on purpose in order to create the fear that they then used to quietly enslave humanity. And I'm, again, not sure if this is something that we need to go over again, relitigate again, because it seems like we've done it in live time for the past 5 years. And again, we're just sick of the investigations, of the discussions, of the jaw, the words, the nonsense. Just charge them and arrest them. We have all of the evidence we could ever possibly need. And we've had it damn near a decade at this point. The Russiagate collusion conspiracy was the greatest threat to American democracy at that point. Since then, there have been a couple of others. I would include January 6th in another, realm where we just know and with absolute certainty who it was that caused it. And even the show trials that they held, I think, were in flagrant violation of the Constitution, and they should be held to account for that as well. These things are just absolutely outrageous that they pulled off. They're actual, genuine threats to the continuation of our government. And nobody is above the law, and they have to be held to account. This isn't Donald Trump fudging the numbers on the price of collateral for some loan that he paid off in full. All right? This is open treason, abuse of power, and just the flagrant violation of our constitutional right to choose our leaders as we see fit. These people have to go to jail. And I'm not just talking about it. We have to see the trials happen.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Back, folks, it's truly hard to encompass the level of evil that we've been subjected to for the last decade or so. And I don't know if it's a tactic or just a, you know, convenient consequence of the way these people are, that they do so much stuff that it's like the crazy, insane, objectionable stuff that should, in all justice, result in like the overthrow of the government. It just goes to the wayside, just falls to the wayside, because the next insane crime against humanity gets all of our attention. And so now we've got Tulsi Gabbard and others from the Trump administration looking back at the Russia collusion narrative. It's good to remind ourselves, like, oh yeah, less than 10 years ago, there was this crazy conspiracy of the most powerful people in our country using our most invasive, you know, spy state abilities to do everything they can by hook and crook, by lie and deception and deceit and falsified evidence and falsified warrant applications and any other thing they thought they could get away with to try to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. And they cannot get away with this. They can't get away with it. Now, of course, by the time this was fully exposed and we're aware of what's going on, you had, you know, the war in Ukraine brewing and the, you know, conflicts of interest there with everybody and their kid being some board member of a Ukrainian gas giant and Trump trying to investigate that and having to be impeached over it because he got too close to the kicking the spider's nest and unveiling all of their corrupt activities in Eastern Europe. And then you had COVID, where they created a virus in a lab and released it on purpose. And then when you're still reeling from the insanity that that causes, they're locking everybody down and doing a bunch of other crazy illegal crap, screwing over the election system in a completely fraudulent way while simultaneously burning down the city for Black Lives Matter. It's like there was just, there's just been so much stuff. There's been just such a cascade of insanity. Because, of course, at the end of that, it became January 6th and the manhunt for everybody even associated with anybody on the Capitol that day, seeing innocent people thrown in prison for 20-plus years on terrorism charges. It's just kind of unimaginable, the amount of just insane abuses that we've been under for 10 years. So, you know, while I would love to see to go back even farther to, like, charge people that got us into the war in Iraq and that type of stuff, or go back and, you know, relitigate 9/11 and see if we can't get to the truth of what happened there and charge people involved in that cover-up in the first place. It's like at a certain point, okay, maybe there's like a 20-year expiration where it's like, let's not waste our time with things 20 years ago. But 10 years ago, I think, is still perfectly valid for investigation and punishment for what these people did. So it's good. It's like we're going back to my early days here at InfoWars, 2016, 2017, learning and relearning the depths of corruption that exists in this country as just the media, Democrat Party, the establishment Republicans, the FBI, the CIA, the executive branch under Obama, and everybody else in any position of power with the ability to actually stop this from happening. They all colluded together to allow this crime to be committed against Donald Trump because they really thought they were going to get away with it. The other thing that we have to, you know, remind everybody, the reason we know everything we do about Russiagate and the way it all went down is because they were so brazen in the way that they did it. Because they genuinely thought they would be able to keep Trump out of office, get Hillary Clinton in like they planned, and then she would be able to do what these people do best, which is cover it all up, sweep it all under the rug, and just continue the persecution from an even greater position of power. So we know who these people were. We know what they did. We know how they did it. We just know everything. And we know why they did it. The insurance plan. Thinking that, A, we'll be able to stop him, because certainly once we start, observing and surveilling Trump, you know, clearly he's got to be a criminal, right? He's got to be involved in nefarious activity. So all we need to do is get that warrant, and then we'll spy on him. Once we start spying on him, it'll be a matter of minutes before something crops up that we can, you know, spin out into a viable criminal charge or something. They really thought that was going to be the case. They didn't think they'd ever have to explain their text messages. They didn't think Trump would win. Turns out, Trump's not actually a criminal. He's not actually involved in the Russians. He's not actually falling for the, you know, honeypot operations that they carried out, actually sending Russian agents to him to try to get him to agree to something that they can then use as probable cause for spying on or, you know, further interfering in the electoral process. It's just, in a word, they tried to pull a coup. They tried to overthrow our political system by weaponizing the intelligence agencies And if they aren't punished for that, I think they're probably going to do it again, if I had to guess. I think this is the type of thing you need to set an example with and show people that the American system is actually that powerful, and put truth to the mottos you always hear of nobody is above the law. Obama's not above the law. Biden is not above the law. Anthony Fauci is not above the law. And these people have to, for the sake of the continuation of our system, be held to account for the crimes that they committed against me and you and all of us and Donald Trump, but all of us. And so I got so many videos to go to on this, but let's start with clip number one here, because this just goes back to the statement we just heard from Tulsi Gabbard about Anthony Fauci and the whole scandal of the preemptive pardons that were signed and apparently are a thing, and the fact that a lot of these were signed again, there's no investigation needed. We have it in their own words. Like, we know with absolute certainty, reported on it last week, that like they would tell Biden, here's the thing you're going to sign. He would agree to it, and then they would change what it was, not tell him, and sign it anyway. And that's just like what they've admitted and what we know to be true. And likely they never got permission from Biden in the first place. I believe this is Alina Habiba. Is that her name? One of Trump's lawyers talking about the process necessary to actually use an auto pin and how Republicans have to follow this order of operations to the letter, every step accounted for. But the Democrats, they kind of did whatever the hell they wanted, because of course they did, because in very real way, Democrats all, for all intents and purposes, above the law in this country. Let's go to clip number one.
We never print out any presidential document that requires a signature unless it says in writing, ready for AP, AP being auto pen. Then myself or any of my former coworkers would take that document, walk it up to the fifth floor of the executive building, and we would hand it over and stand there, sign a piece of paper with Office of Records Management. There's a whole process that is required to be cataloged. So when you hear someone say, I don't know who told me which way or whatever. Well, you know, even look at the recent New York Times article. Joe Biden said, oh, you know, I was responsible for all of those 1,000 plus pardons. And Jeff Zients, the chief of staff, was also there. And he can vouch for me. That is in the National Archives. It's on the White House server. So if these people don't want to necessarily perjure themselves, although I think they already have guilt by admission in some cases and omission, there is an easy process in which the National Archives and the White House servers themselves.
So I think we can just throw out all the auto pen stuff. I think you can just throw it all out. I think we can just, you know, safely assume that they never complied with the order of operations. They never did what they were supposed to do. So it just doesn't count. And that you just had, this is just the way it works. Like, this isn't even an option for us. It's not like it really shouldn't even be up to us. Like, these crimes were committed, so they have to be punished. If there's a process by which the auto pin signature is considered valid, that process isn't followed, then it's not considered valid. And it's just like, it's very simple. There's no argument. Just this is the way it has to be. I don't know why it's not that way, but it should be. Let's go down to clip number three. This is Jesse Waters talk about the Russian hoax, as if we have to relitigate this again. We, for the past 10 years, everybody has known exactly what happened and exactly who was involved. They just haven't been punished. Again, I cannot understand why we're sitting here with these just abject criminals admitted on the face of it, all of their crimes in evidence for the whole world to see, and we just don't charge them. Why not? Let's go to clip number three now.
Fox News alert. We just got a peek inside Obama's black book, and it turns out Barack knew the Russia hoax was a hoax all along, but pushed it anyway to sabotage the Trump presidency. DNI Tulsi Gabbard declassifying pages and pages of documents, showing Obama's intel guys briefed him just weeks after the 2016 election, that the Russians didn't actually sway the election. Quote, we assess that Russian and criminal actors did not impact the recent U.S. election results. Criminal activity also failed to reach the scale and sophistication necessary to change election outcomes. But Obama just couldn't accept that. So he and his staff instructed intel agencies to cook up new reports to support Russia collusion. Quote, after the meetings, Clapper's executive assistant emailed intelligence community leaders, tasking them to create a new intelligence community assessment per the president's request that detailed the tools Moscow used and actions it took to influence the 16 election. Tulsi Gabbard described what she found as a conspiracy to subvert the will of the American people. And she says the people involved should be prosecuted and has made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. We knew Hillary created the dossier, and now we have proof that Barack was calling the shots and the documents to prove it.
So they should probably all be arrested. They should probably all be arrested by this point. Again, Trump shared an AI video of Obama being arrested. It's kind of a great symbol for what Trump has come to represent. The false hope. Fake hope. Fake things that should be done but aren't actually being done. They talk about it a lot. They talk a big game. Nothing ever happens. Nobody's been held to account. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been charged. We get it. The best we've gotten so far is an AI simulation of what we've been begging for 10 years at this point. Weirdly appropriate. Go now to clip number four. This is General Flynn calling on the Department of Justice to confiscate Barack Obama's passport and do other necessary maneuvers to stop these people from fleeing justice, or in some other way, just let him know, put him on notice that they will not get away with the crimes that they committed, that we all know about, that have been well documented for years. Here's General Flynn.
House and being brought into jail. I would say right now, if I were in the Department of Justice, or if I was in the White House, I would demand that the Attorney General immediately take away the passports from these individuals who we know have already been named. And there's some others that have not been named yet. Take away the passports. Do not allow them to leave this country, because I guarantee they're waking up, you know, this morning saying, where can I go? We got to get the hell out of here. Because they committed a massive, massive conspiracy to undermine and overthrow the United States of America, the United States government, the president of the United States, and the presidency. And they left a wake in their path that is unprecedented, as Jack.
I think the change here is the charge here is going to be treason. I mean, it basically has to be. It was treason. I mean, it was, with no doubt. But a lot of other people are talking about how this could get pretty crazy pretty fast. Talking about kill switches that Obama sort of left behind, or just the race riot Antifa insurrection that would occur after somebody like Obama would be arrested. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen. It really does. Again, there is no speculation in this part. There's not a conspiracy theory. This is the documented and well-evidenced existence of an actual conspiracy, of a genuine conspiracy. That sort of goes on. I mean, you could tie it in to like the 51 intelligence agents lying about the Hunter Biden laptop as well. Maybe not quite as egregious, since it didn't involve, you know, falsified evidence to get warrants to spy on people, which really is the heart of the Russiagate collusion operation. But it's all the same players using very similar tactics in coordination and cooperation with the mainstream media, who's perfectly aware of all of this and playing their part in covering up the activities of the criminals in our government. This is not an option for us. This is not vengeance or vindictiveness. This is a genuine pursuit of justice in this country, necessary for the continuing operation of our entire governmental system. We'll go to a little bit of a longer clip now, clip number 7. I'm definitely not going to play this whole thing, but we'll at least get to the first comment from Tulsi Gabbard, and there's a very good montage of this as well. It's Maria Bartiromo interviewing Tulsi Gabbard. Let's watch clip number 7.
Collusion and conspiracy at the highest levels against President Trump. Now, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard revealing what this audience has known all along. A cabal of high-ranking officials led by then-President Barack Obama, CIA Director John Brennan, and Hillary Clinton, among others, took the world on a wild goose chase to try and take down their political enemy, Donald Trump, no matter the casualties along the way. DNA Tulsi Gabbard is now calling for prosecutions, revealing declassified documents from the Russia collusion made-up investigation, which she says detail a treasonous conspiracy by officials at the highest level of the Obama White House to stop incoming President Donald Trump. The cabal included Barack Obama, John Brennan, James Clapper, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Jim Comey, and Susan Rice, who pushed a made-up story that President Trump colluded with Russia to win the 2016 election so the cabal would not lose their grip on power. All of this exactly as then-Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, Judiciary Committee member John Ratcliffe, and President Trump himself told us so many times from day one.
What that is it's the original intelligence, the original reasons that the counterintelligence investigation was started. Now, this is really important to us because a counterintelligence investigation uses the tools of our intelligence services that are not supposed to be used on American citizens. So we've long wanted to know, well, what intelligence did you have that actually led to this investigation? So what we found now, after the investigators had reviewed it, is that, in fact, there was no intelligence.
As a former federal prosecutor, my opinion is that declassifying them would not expose any national security information, would not expose any sources and methods. It would expose certain folks at the Obama Justice Department and FBI and their actions and their actions taken to conceal material facts from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
How involved was John Brennan?
Totally involved. He was totally involved. John Brennan was one of the architects, in my opinion. You look at Brennan, you look at Clapper, you look at them all. But ultimately, the president knew everything. The president knew everything. President Obama and Vice President Biden, they knew everything.
And Comey and Brennan and Clapper, they all were terrible and they lied to Congress. They spied on my campaign, which is treason. They spied both before and after I won.
Joining me now is the woman herself, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Director, thanks very much for being here this morning.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you.
What was the most damning thing that you learned after looking through all of these declassified documents?
Maria, the implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president, commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected, contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia neither had neither the intent nor the capability to try to, quote unquote, hack the United States election for the presidency of the United States. So the effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to something Devin Nunes said, which is exactly what you're saying right now.
We'll go back to more of these clips later, but Tulsi Gabbard details bombshell claims of Obama-era cabal's treasonous conspiracy against Trump. I mean, the sad part is there are people that were involved in this conspiracy that are still in office, still, you know, in the same position they were when they tried to overthrow the results of the 2016 election. And that is not overstating it by any means. So again, you know, a lot of people pointing to what Trump's doing as a distraction from Epstein. The Epstein saga has taken an even more annoying turn, where now the Democrats are like tripling down in their claims that Trump is associated with Epstein. Now they have some lady talking about Trump groping her in 1993, and it's just like opening up this giant retarded can of worms that Trump should have just handled in the first place. Again, I don't know why he would like give up the initiative on this, literally gift wrap a scandal, handing it off to the Democrats, when for the entirety of the time that Epstein has been known about, it's been Republicans and conservatives and MAGA Americans who have been pointing out the way that he played an integral role in the deep state operations that have destroyed this country. Instead of, you know, using that as a weapon against the Democrats, they instead said, oh no, that's a Democrat talking point, a Democrat hoax. And the Democrats, who have never cared a wink about Epstein at all, are suddenly making it their, you know, prime talking point, and it's just all over the place. And so I don't know if Trump is actually going after these people, or if this is just, you know, an attempt to change the conversation away from Epstein. But it falls in the same category of enough talk, enough teasing, enough trusting the plan. And this is what I said even before Trump got into office. Like, what are the deadlines? What are the deadlines? Is it going to be a year? Are we going to give him a full year? If by January 20th, 2026, nobody's been arrested, no lists have been released, no black books have been published, are we allowed to change tack then? Is that the final point? The final, you know, length that we'll let them go to? Or has it been long enough? It's been 6 months. We've seen no movement in arresting any of these people. We do have an AI video of it. Is that the best we can hope for?
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got four or five One, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.